The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, March 24th through Sunday, March 30th, 2025. The commentary for March was written by Tyler Richards, an Episcopal priest serving at St. Anne's Episcopal Church in De Pere, Wisconsin. He's also an avid birder, vocalist, and gardener. He enjoys spending free time with his wife and his beautiful daughters, usually somewhere in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. The commentary for Monday, March 24th, begins as follows with a passage from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7, verses 6 through 7. If you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will dwell with you in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your ancestors, forever and ever. Here's the commentary. As someone who creates a lot of social media content, I can attest to all the surefire ways peddled to people about getting closer to God. There are plenty of folks out there with plenty of good intentions, and they all know what it takes for us to walk with God. I suppose, all things being equal, I'm one of those people. God seems interested chiefly in justice and righteousness. Justice is loosely defined as the right relationship with our neighbors. Righteousness is the right relationship with God. These two ideas seem interwoven into the fabric of the Old Testament. But like Oscar Romero, whom the church remembers today, we must also support the least of these. We must remember Jeremiah and Micah and do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Jeremiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 15. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord: stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, you that enter these gates to worship the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and let me dwell with you in this place. Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly act justly one with another, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will dwell with you in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your ancestors forever and ever. Here you are trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, make offerings to Baal, and go after other gods that you have not known? And then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are safe, only to go on doing all these abominations. Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? You know I too am watching, says the Lord. Go now to my place that was in Shiloh, where I made my name dwell at first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people Israel. And now, because you have done all these things, says the Lord, And when I spoke to you persistently, you did not listen. And when I called you, did not answer. Therefore I will do to the house that is called by my name, in which you trust, and to the place that I gave to you and to your ancestors, just what I did to Shiloh. And I will cast you out of my sight, just as I cast out all your kinsfolk for the offspring of Ephraim. And the moving forward question for this Monday, March 24th, is, first, research the life of Oscar Romero, whom we honor today. What lessons does his witness offer us? Now let's turn to the commentary for Tuesday, March 25th, which, as you may recall, is the day on which we celebrate and commemorate the Feast of the Annunciation. It begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 10. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Don't panic. You have only 9 months more to shop for Christmas. Well, the Feast of the Annunciation is quite literally where the story begins about what God is up to in Nazareth. God is putting a plan into place to heal the rift between God and humanity, and Mary will help bring it about. The riven nature of our relationship with God is being stitched back together as God goes about taking on flesh. I wonder how we partner with God to continue that work. I wonder where the work of the Annunciation finds a home within us. Can we be like Mary, who accepts the profound calling of her life? Can we be like Gabriel and bear the good news? Can we be like the rest of the world, waiting and watching for the good news to come to us? Well, sometimes that's who we have to be. The Annunciation reminds us that God has claimed us and is continually coming to us, not just for us, but for all that is created. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 through 10. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "See, God, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written of me." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "See, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And the moving forward suggestion for today is to read the passage from Luke appointed for today. However, how would you respond to the angel Gabriel in that passage? The commentary for Wednesday, March 26th, begins with a passage from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. I grew up watching the TV show Matlock with my grandmother. Episode after episode chronicled the old hometown Southern lawyer who gets drawn into court cases that at times seem like too much for him. I watched the courtroom scenes with the greatest interest. Even as a kid, I could sense the tension in the courtroom as a witness took the stand, getting ready to face questions from the namesake attorney, Matlock. He, of course, always cracked the case. I've always wondered what it felt like to make a testimony like that. Then I remember that each day as a Christian is a testimony about Jesus. How I live my life, my expressed values, my passions, and my pursuits speak to my relationship with God, or should. Christianity may not be persecuted, but it is scrutinized. In many ways, we are put on the stand to make an account for Jesus. We are called to testify on his behalf, as disciples have been called to do throughout time. I wonder what the prosecution will make of us. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, March 26th, is, can God get a witness? The commentary for Thursday, March 27th, begins also with a passage from the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 18. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. Every year on Good Friday or thereabouts, my wife and I watch Jesus Christ Superstar, the 1973 version of the musical. Now, this tradition started in seminary, and we've continued it for almost 10 years. Probably one of the most moving numbers from the show is the song, Could We Start Again, Please? It is so stirring for me because the reality of what Jesus is doing finally sets in for Peter and Mary Magdalene. The entire show is powerful, but this song nails the story's mood. Do we understand that what Jesus does is just for us? God did not need to do what was done, but did it only for us. What's even more arresting is that God suspends everything on the agenda to see it through. God is willing to stop for us, act for us, make this singularly redemptive move just for us. Coming to grips with this is a profound act of praise. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned, sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man. Jesus Christ abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. But law came in with the result that the trespass multiplied. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that just as sin exercised dominion in death, so grace might also exercise dominion through justification, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the moving forward question for this day is, what movies or songs prompt you to look at your faith life? The commentary for Friday, March 28th, begins again with a passage from Romans chapter 6, verse 11. So you also might consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Many of my reflections on life center on singular moments that have been turning points for me. Conversations, decisions, retreats, good cups of coffee, you name it. I love looking back to see how things changed from those points on. When our lives intersect with God, they have to change. Once we have tasted a drop of God's grace, there is no going back. Something about that encounter makes us want to be different. Perhaps the recognition that we are different because of grace makes us want to reroute our lives, to steer into a new current. Whatever the case, an encounter with God is an invitation to something new. Our baptisms are one of those moments. Whether we are baptized as infants or later in life, we are catapulted headlong into a current that sweeps us away and makes us participants in God's divine life. How could anything not be different after that? Well, this is the invitation from God. Come on in. The water is fine. And now I'm going to read the full passage from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. And the moving forward question for this Friday is, first, reread the service of baptism in the Book of Common Prayer or in your own prayer book. How are you living into these bold promises? The commentary for Saturday, March 29th, begins with a passage from Romans 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. I seldom experience road rage. My wife will tell anyone that I am a slowpoke. I drive in the right lane. I work hard not to pull out in front of anyone. I stop at every stop sign. All in all, I'm a pretty good driver. The moment my thin veneer of control breaks is when someone drives recklessly around me. Getting cut off in traffic infuriates me. I feel wrath when I need to merge and other drivers go out of their way to ensure I can't. I take great comfort in knowing this must be how others respond too, right? From time to time, we all slip in our behavior. The temptation in those moments is to move into full deprecation and beat ourselves up. Momentary slips are different from deliberate choices made repeatedly. God asks us to be different and not give into our passions. Jesus guides and strengthens us to live out our lives in Him. If we continue to lean on Him, our passions may weaken and we can more easily recognize the spiritual turn signals. And now I'm going to read from the full passage from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you have been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, as we near the end of the program and the end of this week as well, let's turn to the passage for Sunday, March 30th, the fourth Sunday in Lent. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 20. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. The first day I dropped my older daughter off for preschool was gut-wrenching. I couldn't think straight or even focus. I watched the clock all day because I just wanted her back. I was sitting in the parking lot waiting for 3 p.m. But sweet relief I felt when I could hold her in my arms and hear her voice again. Imagine how God feels wanting just one of us to come back. God longs to rush towards us, welcome us, embrace us, and have a party in our honor. If the parable of the prodigal son illustrates even a fraction of how God rejoices over us when we come home again after wandering away, we're not ready for that level of love. Perhaps we never can be. God asks us to help do this work of reconnection and reconciliation. God asks us to love each other just like this. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, March 30th, is, who do you need to welcome back into your life with grace and love? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to your heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.